Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Some of the best high school basketball in the state is played right here in Southeast Wisconsin. It's time to hear from some of the best high school basketball coaches in the area. This is the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local Pick and Save stores. Now with former Marquette High and Concordia University coach David Cooks, here's 105.7 FM The Fan's High School Insider, Big Time Mike McGivern.
You know, I got to get change that promo, except every time that says David Cooks, he pays me $20. So, Cooks, you owe me a lot of money. You know, we missed you. And he's been out with some illnesses. He's getting better. And we only got a couple weeks left, so he's not going to make it at all this year. But I'm pretty sure he'll be back next year. And I know he listens all the time, so I miss having you in, Coach. And this show would have been unbelievable because your takes on some of this stuff, well, I would have liked to know. Our next guest, head basketball coach at New Berlin Eisenhower. I called Scott Wood. I said, hey, can we get you on the phone? Or he said, where are you guys at? I go, 118th and Grange. He goes, no, I'll walk there. Like, I gotta walk there. I'm right there. I said, come on in, man. That would be awesome. Hey, Coach, kind of like we talked to with Andy Cerrone and Brian Hendricks from DSHA and now Jerry Pettigrew, I'm sorry for you, your staff, your players, your school, your community. This has been a difficult thing. I think the smartest thing anybody has said on the show so far was Drew Collins, who's sitting on the couch right now, senior at Madison Memorial. He said, look, we lost. I had closure. I don't think I'd want to be one of these other teams. You guys, how do you get closure on this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I can tell you from my perspective, in the 12 to 24 hours after we found out, it felt like a season-ending loss in many respects. And then I think as time went on, we got to appreciate a little bit more that we did get to end our season on a win, and we at least have that idea of what might have been. I think with the, you know, you do get the closure with the season-ending loss, but you do get the pain and the heartbreak and everything that comes with it. I feel the worst for our seniors just because they're never going to have a chance to play that out and see what might have been. You know, had we been able to make it to the state tournament, we surely would have been up against somebody like a Nicolet or La Crosse Central that would have been a David and Goliath type of story. But we would have loved to play David in that scene.
I mean, you want to take a look, if you're going to take a shot, let's take a shot. I mean, right. And you had told me, you said, look, I don't know if you know this, but we averaged a lot of points this year. We kind of flew under the radar screen. And when we came out and we kind of didn't take everybody's first shot, we connected first. I mean, we went after teams, and that's when we played the best. Certainly the teams that you had coming up were really good quality basketball teams, but you felt good about where you guys were at.
Yeah, I mean, I think we played a style that we felt like if we could get through the first few rounds of the playoffs and avoid an upset there, that we had a chance to maybe surprise some people. You know, in this day and age, the three-pointer is a great equalizer. We play with a lot of pace. Our defense had really come into shape the last few games. You know, we give up a lot. We score a lot of points. We had given up a lot of points. Part of that's because of the pace. But in our playoff games, we gave up 50, 53, and 50. And I think in each of those games, we held our opponent under 40% field goal shooting, generated a lot of turnovers. And I just felt like we were playing with an intensity and a passion and energy that was going to make us a really difficult team to beat. And certainly we would have had to play extraordinarily well to keep our season going. And
yeah, Tulsa West got hot.
They absolutely.
I saw them on film. They made a couple changes there. you know, their coaching change, and they have been playing pretty well since then.
Yeah, and they no disrespect for them, because they tattooed Wisconsin Lutheran, who was a team that we were tri-champs with in our conference, and then Milwaukee Lutheran won the Woodland East, and Tosa West took care of them by 10 or 11 points. So we knew we had a battle on our hands, and they play in the greater metro, of course.
Right.
And, their record was deceiving. They have 9 losses, but, you know, I kind of joked with our staff that 6 of those losses they probably had before they got off the bus.
Right.
Brook East, Brook Central, and Sussex. So,
yeah.
And
don't hang your head on those.
They lost a game in Indiana. They lost a game to Marquette, and they lost a game in DeFalls. And that was it. So it was going to be a battle, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and not to, you know, this is a celebration of high school sports, but Milwaukee Lutheran. Anytime you get 4 technicals in a game, that's an issue. That is an issue. Do you know, I had somebody at the game, and they said, look, right near the end of the first half, Milwaukee Lutheran up 7. And the kid Tosa West hits a shot to go down 5, and a kid from Milwaukee Lutheran gets technical, so they shoot the free throws. So now they're down 3, and they hit a 3 off an out-of-bounds play. It's a 7-point possession. It's tied at half. Feeling pretty good if I'm Tosa West going, we're down 7. No time came off the clock, and we 7. So, you know what? That's my rant for today. That's my rant.
Okay,
you know,
we'll see. We'll see.
Still time for more.
Hey, as soon as they get Drew back, he'll rant for me.
I think what Coach said is the hard part is it's the seniors. It's not like the NCAA is talking about maybe giving, you know, seniors another year or all that kind of stuff. These guys are done. They're done. And I think that's the hard part as a coach. It's like, you know, it does end, but it really didn't end. You know, it was ended by something that they couldn't control.
Right. Coach, did you know coming into this year that you guys had a chance to be this as good as you were? And were you playing playing better down the stretch than you did in the middle?
Yeah, I had a hunch that we were going to be pretty good. You know, we this is my third year. Our first 2 years were decent years. We were, I think, second and third in the conference. And so I knew we'd be near the top. We had a lot of returning players. We made a couple subtle changes to our offense that I think opened things up a little bit more, made us have more of a dynamic threat from a lot of different directions. And so I had a hunch we'd be pretty good. We had really kind of 2 hiccup parts of the season. You know, we won 7, lost 3 straight. I made a bunch of changes to the lineups and during that time and was experimenting with some things. Then we won another 7. Then we lost 2 by virtue mainly of playing Pewaukee and Wisconsin Lutheran when they were playing really well and they just beat us. And then we won another 6 games to end the season, and our 7th, the third time that we would have been going for a 7-game winning streak would have been the game against Tosa West to get to state. So we were kind of feeling like everything was coming up 7s to get to state.
I'd go to Vegas. Yeah. I'd go to Vegas and keep hitting 7, man. Yeah. Just keep hitting 7. Senior-laden team?
Yeah, we had 14 kids on varsity, and 8 of them are seniors. Oh. 4 really heavy minutes. Two of them all conference players, and kind of a sad individual story. You know, I'm a stat guy, if anybody that knows me, and we keep track of career records and things like that. And Ben Beekle, a 3-year varsity player for us, ended 2 points short of making our big board of top 5 all-time scoring.
Yeah, make the board 6, pal.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
And even if you have to put a star there to say, hey, look, here's – so people say, how come there's a star in his name? 20 years from now, say, here's what happened. You know what? Those are the ones that makes me sad. This kid, you know, he has 3 points and he's up on that board for, you know, for a long time maybe. And because of this, he's not going to be able to get there. What's your background, Coach? How long have you been at Eisenhower?
This is my third year here. I used to coach at DSHA for 10 years and then took a couple years off. Actually, in before I was at DSHA, I was the boys' JV coach at Eisenhower, and I've lived in the district for 20-plus years, so that was always kind of where I was looking to get back into coaching, and that's where my kids go to school, and they're in high school right now. So,
man, did you grow up in this area?
I didn't. Born and raised in Montana.
Really?
Yep.
How'd you get to Wisconsin?
I'm an actuary. And,
okay.
I'm
you are a stat guy.
Yeah.
I hear you boys make a lot of money. You got 20 you can borrow Collins? Or?
That's the truth. I passed the first 3 tests, though, as an undergrad.
Did you?
I did.
What?
And I was like, I thought I wanted to be a teacher.
Well, what were you thinking? Well, good. You're a good teacher. That's
well, Mike, I can speak firsthand on how good of a coach Scott is. So okay. I had the challenge of having to go against his DS teams when I was at Sussex Hamilton. We had some epic, epic games.
How'd you guys do?
I wish we would have won a few more, but we, you know, it was the ultimate respect. Like when we took the program over, it was like, all right, like DS, it was DS and Brook Central were kind of like the model programs in the conference.
Right.
It's like, we just, let's work as hard as we can to get to that level. And once we were able to finally like compete with them and have these great games, it felt like we really accomplished something. And a lot of that had to do with his coaching. And now we're in the conference in the Woodland. I can't get away from this guy.
I got a feeling he's probably already reached out. But what's the difference that he's going to? I coached 2 years of girls basketball at Calvary Baptist in Menominee Falls. The same time I was coaching a boys team, my son's team. So the difference between coaching girls and boys is it's a big difference. When I came across, and I don't know if you guys will agree with this, girls came. It was very social, but they came to practice hard every day. Boys pick their spots. They'll practice hard today. They'll go in this drill. They'll go hard. As soon as practice is over, girls, it was social again. But that practice, that hour and a half practice, they went hard all the time. I'm wondering what advice you would give him now that he's moving over to the boys' side.
Well, first off, I don't think he needs any advice. When Joel Klassen, who I have tremendous respect for him, he's one of the greatest coaches ever. You know, he's finally retiring. You're like, okay, maybe we can take a deep breath when we play Pius. And nope, they hire Dan Carey. So just another battle that we're going to have a couple times in the conference. But yeah, you're right. I think there's a difference. But I think sometimes the differences are a little overblown. I think, you know, in this day and age, boys and girls are athletes. They want to be coached. They want to succeed. They want to do the best they can. I think maybe boys have a little bit more aggressive tendencies and are more likely, if you turn your back and give them a water break for 5 minutes, they, you know, might be rolling around on the ground or something.
Right. Yeah.
The girls might be hanging out by the water fountain and not come back into the gym, you know.
I knew when I was in trouble, the Calvary Baptist girls program had won like a game or two games in 3 years, and the guy who was coaching them said, I don't know anything about basketball, but nobody else will do it. And normally somebody says that, they don't mean it. He was telling the truth. So after the first practice, I realized that we needed to break this down to a third or fourth grade level. And we taught an hour and a half of teaching triple threat. We're teaching how to set a screen, how to shade a screen, all things you would teach in a third and fourth grade kind of camp. And at the end of the practice, I said, does anybody have any questions? And Emily Bergeron raised her hand and said, the shirt I wear under my jersey, does it have to be 100% cotton? Now, I'm never speechless. I went, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you. Yeah. And I got in the car and went, man, I'm not in Kansas anymore, boys. It was unreal. Can you stick around for a little bit?
I can.
Oh, good. If you can, we're going to get Chuck Freeman on. Chuck and I talked yesterday. Chuck's been around high school basketball a long time, in one way or the other. And we talked about the WIA's decision to do this, to pull the games. He wasn't happy on what they did on the girls' side, letting the buses up there. Thought they should have done it a little bit earlier. But we're going to have a discussion with Chuck. He also said, hey, one of the best games I'd ever seen was finally like St. Mary Springs beating Dominican when I was coaching there. And when one of your kids inbounded the ball to the wrong guy at the end of the game, well, I said, Wallersheim is in the fetal position right now. Thanks for bringing that up. We'll talk to Chuck Freeman on the other side of the break. This is the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Steve Collins, head basketball coach at Madison Memorial, Dan Carey, new head boys coach at Pius. And I asked Scott Witt, head basketball coach at New Berlin Eisenhower, to stick around. I'm going to cut those guys loose, Scott and Dan, after the 11:30 segment. That last segment I want to spend with the Collin boys. And we're going to do a little Dr. Phil stuff. We're going to you know, how's your feeling? How is it playing for your dad? Stuff like that. And if you've listened to the beginning of the show and part of the show, Drew Collins, the apple hasn't fallen far from the tree. He'll tell you what he's feeling. Now joined by Chuck Freeman from the morning show. Chuck and Winkler, every day here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, from 6 to 10. Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Doing great, man. I got a lot of feedback from when you and I were chatting yesterday about some of our – sectional final losses.
Yeah.
You know, how we forget the losses, how we remember the losses worse than the victories.
You know what? And we've got a guy who's, man, he's been to the mountaintop, Steve Collins, a number of times, but he's had some tough losses. Steve, are you like Chuck and I, where I can tell, I can bring you to West Bend High School and show you on the floor where the kid from Mooseburg hit a shot?
Oh, every big loss, I can tell you the three or four possessions that it caused it. Someone breaking up with their girlfriend the night. My point guard breaking up with his girlfriend the day before, and then they're back together 2 days later.
All right, hold on. What was the song at your wedding? You don't remember that?
No idea. I didn't pick that.
You don't remember that? What color was the text? I have no idea. But I know that the kid from Madison LaFollette hit a shot off the backboard over at this. Chuck, and thank you so much for bringing up the Fond du Lac St. Mary Springs one. That one still stings, man. I really do appreciate that. Hey, Chuck, we've had a number of coaches, and the reason I asked Scott Witt to stick around is, look, they got a call at 11 o'clock that the night after, the night of beating Catholic Memorial, knowing they're going to play Tosa West with a chance to go to state. And then we had a girls coach from DSHA. They found out when they were going up there, and they still went on the floor and at least got a feel for what that was like. You had made a comment yesterday and said, look, they should have done this. If they were going to do it, they should have done it earlier. My deal was, I think they went as long as they could. What's your feel? You think the WI should have pulled it earlier?
Yeah, I think once the NBA, kind of sets the bar here. Once a professional organization like that decides it is not good to go out there and play some basketball, then everything trickles down. You know, the conference tournaments on Thursday, there's no way the Big East should have even taken the court, or the ACC. Some of these tournaments were called minutes before tip-off, which I think is absurd. How did they know before there was going to be an NBA? Why were these conference tournaments not called off?
Yeah,
it was like 12 minutes. I think the NBA, after they did the diagnosis, it was 12 minutes and they called it. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Steve, do you think, and Scott, I'm going to ask you this too, and Dan, so my feeling is they were doing everything they could to get these kids that experience. Is there any other reason why they didn't pull it that quick, in your view? Anybody?
I know Madison wouldn't. Madison, it was the players. That was it. There was no parents. And Madison had made the decision that, East and LaFollette played those games in front of the fans and the person running the camera and the officials. That was it in the gym. It was the I could hear the officials making the calls, like get your hand off on the video I was watching.
Yeah, I was at the I was at Germantown watching Arrowhead and Sussex Hamilton, and you know what it felt like for me? A varsity reserve game. That's what it felt like for me. And I could hear guys from across yelling at the refs, and that's what it kind of felt like. But the second half was really good. And so that part you kind of forget about. But it was a sectional semifinal where you're used to a line being across the street trying to get in the game. And that's the part that I feel bad for these guys. I do.
Well, today should be a great day for basketball, because not only are the conference tournaments, in the barrel you have, in college basketball you would have had Selection Sunday. But today you'd have the girls' state basketball, you'd have the state champions decided at the rush, and you'd have all the sectional finals going on today across the state for the boys. And as a fan, it is awesome if you have like an afternoon game, let's say at 1 o'clock, and hey, we still got a chance at 4 o'clock to make the game in Oshkosh at the Culp Center, or 7 o'clock at the Culp Center. I mean, I've seen two or three sectional finals in one day before, and girls' regional finals, and boys, I mean, this is too bad. I just wish they would have found a way, guys, to not cancel it, but postpone it. And I understand it runs into spring sports, but man, we've come so far. We've come so far into the season. And to have it canceled like this, and this goes for college basketball too, there had to have been a way where we could have figured this out, postponed the season, and played it a month from now.
Scott, you're feeling on that?
We need some champions crowned here.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Martin Luther's a 2-year champ. That's all I know. I guess we were so good they let us win it for 2 years. I'm just kidding, of course. Scott, your feeling on that?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I do agree that I don't think the WIAA had any choice but to do what they did. I think, though, that the public pressure and the mass hysteria and the other states, I think that had a lot to do with it. I think there's a huge difference between an NBA game, you know, with an international flavor, people flying all over the place, even a college conference tournament with a big crowd and people flying in from all over the country. There's a big difference between that and a local sectional game with limited attendance, with maybe 88 people or maybe not even the parents. And even in those limited attendance games, it's really a self-contained thing. Those are family members that have already, everybody's been exposed to each other anyway. And given enough time, and if the public pressure and the hysteria hadn't been there, I feel like maybe a solution could have been worked out where you have an accelerated timeline. Maybe you get this thing wrapped up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the next week. You live stream the games. What you weren't going to have, though, is a state tournament experience. Clearly, that wasn't going to happen, where you're going to have teams from all over the state
right.
coming to one spot. I actually thought when the Kohl Center said that we couldn't have the boys tournament there, I thought maybe it actually increased the chances that we might come up with some workaround solution where you had a bunch of satellite locations and you just had a single game. But ultimately, I understand why they did what they did. It's a catch-22 situation. You know, you hope that everything gets under control and that we overreacted, but how are we as coaches going to feel a couple weeks from now if we look back and we say, man, like,
right.
we could have done it, or we could have just postponed this and maybe found a different way to handle it.
Yeah.
Hey. Here's where I disagree. See, I think the state tournament, going to the state tournament, a sectional final or a sectional semifinal, it's not only about the 15 guys and the coaches who work their butts off all year, but I think it's about the school. It's about the community. When you see some of these towns rally around their team in northern Wisconsin, western Wisconsin, and they all show up at the state tournament, now you're saying, hey, you know what? You can't show up. You know,
you're gonna have to cut. Hey, Chuck, I'm sorry. Do we have him back? No, you know what?
Is it cutting off?
Oh yeah, it really cut. We got you back now. It was a little rough there, for a bit. But Chuck, I agree with you on that. I think they did everything they could. And they said they had five different options that they were thinking, and that's where I think they were going with it. When they said, "Hey, we're looking at five different options," that they were going to try to pick a location.
I asked my AD about the postpone part. And the issue is, this is, and I know all the kids were showing me the big petition that's going around. You know, it's like 35,000 signatures and stuff about postponing it. The issue is, if you give them 3 or 4 weeks off, then you got to bring them back. You got to start practicing. Mm-hmm. You can't just take 3 weeks off and then just go play.
Right.
You know, there's the liability issue there that they got to get them back in shape. They got to, like, because we're not going to have school. So they're going to literally, they're not going to be in. It takes 3 days for my guys to get out of shape. So, you know, it doesn't
that
take very long.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you would have found a way to practice.
We would have been outside or something.
Yeah, you would have been. You would have had some gym.
But I think that's the issue with the people that are saying postpone. Yes, that's what, in an ideal world, I think that's what we would have done. But I don't know if that's possible.
I think one other consideration that I'm sure they were dealing with is equity between boys and girls. And here you have all the girls up at a single site. They feel like that can't go on because it's too big of a risk. It wouldn't be fair to the girls to disband the girls tournament and then continue on with the boys tournament in some sort of limited capacity. So they were dealing with some impossible decisions that were not going to be popular, you know, no matter what they did.
Well, WIA could come out and say the sky is blue, and half of the people would go, "Boy, oh boy, are you kidding me? Where are they? Yeah. Who? Some blue company's giving them money for that," is what they would say. You know, that kind of stuff. So, no matter what they did, there are going to be people that are going to rip it. I give them credit for trying, and I think that's what they did. They tried as hard as they could because they knew the importance of the memories that these kids and these parents and these families had. So, Chuck Freeman, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the golf show.
All right, guys. Just about ready to pull into it.
You got it. That's Chuck Freeman. You can hear him every day, 6 to 10, here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, him and Bart Winkler. Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to keep Scott Witt for one more segment. Alongside Dan Carey with Pius and then Steve Collins, that last segment, we're going to bring Drew off the couch, talk to him a little bit about playing for his father. what that was like. Maybe we'll, you know what? Maybe we'll catch Steve Collins out of here so Drew will be 100% on it. We'll figure that part out. This is the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by your local Pick and Save stores. I can tell you this, Steve Collins is my co-host. One of us would get in too much trouble.
Yes.
Because he, you know what? You almost had me going someplace on the Chuck Freeman thing that you talked about during the break that I just thought, oh, I better. That's a couple of times today, that's for sure. Hey, Scott, so what do you guys have your awards banquet coming up and what's that going to be like?
Yeah, that got canceled, but we are getting together. One of our senior parents was gracious enough to have an impromptu gathering, so our players and coaches and parents are going to meet at a house today, and you know it'll be a quasi banquet for us, I guess, and that might be it. You know, our JV and JV2 teams, we'll figure out something later for them. We did meet with the team for about 45 minutes or an hour yesterday, and we're able to get a little bit of closure, you know, talk about the last game we played. And before we left, we went around the room and had every player give us some memory from the season. And I mean, we shared a lot of laughs and it was, I felt better walking out of that meeting than I would have expected to with, you know, my emotions walking into it.
How'd you sleep Thursday night?
Not well. It was very, very comparable to a season-ending loss, which for the people that know me, I mean, that usually puts me in a funk for for quite a while.
Well, and no doubt, you know, until you get that next game, you know, you get that next practice to start getting that out of your system. This thing is just done. It's just done. And that's, boy, that is really hard. No doubt. Dan, when are you going to start? Have you started to look at summer league opportunities and all the things that changes are coming, I would think.
I'm reminded of that long to-do list when you take over a program.
I mean, we haven't talked about this. This might affect summer.
Absolutely.
Like, I tweeted about, like, what's going to happen to grassroots? I mean, I know EYBL has already canceled. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we going to be able to have a summer? Are we going to be able to get our guys in the gym? I don't know. I mean, I never thought this would happen.
No, you don't know. But I think people need to take a breath a second and go, okay, you know what? Let's let this play out for 2 weeks because maybe in 2 weeks this thing is okay. As you had on, you know, maybe it's flattened out and maybe there's some. Look, I'm listening to a press conference and I don't care where anybody is politically. He's got, like, a guy at Walmart said, look, half of our parking lot is for drive-through. Guy at Target goes, I compete with them, but here's what we're bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. So I think, and some people think he's a little late to the party, I think we're a month away from being, okay, here we go. And NBA playoffs, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I hope they don't pull the plug, like, right now. They're suspended. The March Madness is done. They're not doing it. And even if 2 weeks from now everything was good, can't do it.
And those are professionals, so they're still working out.
Like, right.
They'll be in shape. They could probably play tomorrow if you wanted them to.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah.
Some of them.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Wesley is. Right?
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I bet. What a great addition.
Oh, yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah. Because you know what? But what he doesn't get much credit for, and he must have learned it in college, was playing defense.
Oh, yeah, he didn't learn it from me.
I'm not sure he learned it in high school.
I didn't even let him shoot three. So that tells you what I know.
When we played you guys, the first possession, he tried a spin move on J.R. Blood, who played AAU with him. And J.R. got a charge. J.R. goes, really? I've seen that move like 100 times.
That was at the Fieldhouse, wasn't it?
It was.
That's a great place to play.
It. You bet. And the next day, we're playing Wisconsin Dells. And they were good. And we were down like 12-2 in our freshman Kwame Mitchell. They took a timeout or something, and he's yelling. And the seniors are like, relax, dude, we're fine. We're fine. We'll be fine with this team. But that play memorial, that was a big deal for this group.
That was a Badger Classic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I have it on tape. It's in my car.
Oh,
again,
great,
if you
thanks.
Want, after the show here, we'll go back and listen and go back and watch the whole thing. Hey, Dan, The idea to have Joel retire, and that he was, you know, he said, look, this is what he said to me, and he said it on the air, is he said, look, we're not, I'm going to retire soon, right? I was going to soon, and we didn't want to lose Dan to another opportunity because we have him here and we're going to keep him here. He said, and I'm feeling really good about this. I'm sure he had that conversation with you.
Yeah, and his belief in me. I mean, I've coached with him for 7 years.
Wow.
4 years right out of college as his lower level, you know, JV coach, varsity assistant. And then this is my third season back with him as his assistant. It's always meant so much to me. I've learned so much from him. You know, he's a legend at Pius, and he always will be.
Are you in the building at Pius?
I am.
What do you teach there?
So I actually don't teach. I work in our advancement office. A lot of alumni relations, fundraising. It's very much a hybrid role. But I have a teaching background. I taught middle school health and phy ed right out of college for 7 years out in Sussex. So.
Are you coaching women's professional this offseason?
Everything's kind of up in the air with that. I'm hoping to. We're all just kind of on a hold right now.
Was that a good experience?
Oh, it was amazing.
Was it?
It was unbelievable. Get a chance to coach such high level, not only high level players, but high level people. I learned so much from those players, and they were amazing.
Where were your home games? And I should know this, but
Up in Oshkosh.
Okay.
Yeah.
How'd you guys do?
We won. We went 14-0. We won the league championship. So I'd say it's a success.
Look at that.
You have to tell him the Wesley story. Wesley was helping him coach.
Yeah. So I got to meet Wesley at a game. He came and sat courtside because he's really good friends with a couple of our players, Angela Rodriguez and Gabby Ortiz.
Okay.
So he sat literally courtside. The arena is set up like an NBA arena. So I'm walking up and down the sidelines and he's sitting behind me, like, you know, eating popcorn, and we're talking ball because. Thankfully, the game was not close, so I was able to just kind of relax and be like, all right, hey, Wes, what do you think about this? It was the coolest thing.
Did he rip his high school coach at all?
He did not. No, he did not.
I would not be surprised if he becomes a coach.
Really?
I mean, Drew can say this when he comes back, but he comes to our practices and stuff, and he jumps right in. Like,
man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I've had players over the years, and I'm not going to name any of them, that almost put me in the hospital. Like, the rubber room type. Have you ever had any of those guys?
Oh, a few. Definitely a few.
I know one of them, and I'm not going to name him, but maybe during the break we'll have a conversation about where that kid is at, if he's still around or if he's still playing, stuff like that. Scott, the youth group, the youth program that you guys have in New Berlin has done a nice job of feeding good athletes into West and Eisenhower. How is that program set, and are you happy with the direction it's going right now?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I think I'm most proud of, too, is that our success this year was organic. You know, of our 14 kids, every kid lives in New Berlin. I think 11 of them started playing in third and fourth grade, and then three of them joined in seventh or eighth grade. Not that they moved in from anywhere, but that's just when they joined the program. So. We have had tremendous success, not only during my time with the feeder program, but really we owe a lot of gratitude to all the people that built it before. Dave Scheidegger, and he had a lot of people that helped him really establish a great feeder program and a great tradition. Our youth director is Chris Bauer. He does a tremendous job. And we've made some changes in the last few years to try to maintain our level of competitiveness. As I look into the future, we're not blessed with a lot of size, and in a closed environment like that, we kind of know what players we have available to us, barring any surprises, you know, for the next 10 years or so. And so we've tried to adopt a style of play that we think is going to enable us to compete at a high level, and we're trying to do things from a development perspective within our youth program. But we've got a long ways to go to compete with the likes of Wisconsin Lutheran and Pewaukee, who, I mean, if I'm being honest, have a big head start on us with where they're at in their youth programs right now in terms of talent and size and everything.
Hey, how many years did you take off between DSHA?
Two, and I was actually coaching in both the boys and girls youth program at Eisenhower during that time. So I was kind of in the trenches seeing.
And you're married with kids, obviously.
Yes.
Was your wife happy that you got back as a varsity coach? And you might want to give Dan Carey a couple of, you know, Collins, he's all good. She's in love and she's sticking around, but. You know, I that's a big time commitment.
Yeah, I think especially being in our home district, I think makes it a little bit more special. And my son is a junior, was actually on the varsity team this year, and my daughter's a freshman, so she's got some years in front of her here. She was on the JV team, but you know, I can already see that's going to be tough when she gets to at a level where maybe she's contributing at the varsity level and they're playing at the same time we are. The same team we're playing, but except on a gym
that.
Across town.
I really dislike that. Yeah. I really don't like that. You know, that we do this now.
Does that happen? Because the Big Eight's talking about doing that, and we were fighting it hard in our meeting.
Yeah, because, it's horrible. Yeah, our guys can't go see our girls play.
That's the biggest fans.
Yes,
our guys were fans for our girls, yes. And the girls are fans for
ours. So what we've done, Pewaukee and New Berlin West, more often than not, we will play double headers with those schools.
Right.
And they're great. It's a great environment. You either play, you know, sometimes we have the boys go first. So
yep.
It's fair treatment there. Oftentimes we find that the girls actually like going first because they get a peak crowd then at the end of their game and they get in a close game. I mean, it's an absolutely nuts environment for them that maybe they wouldn't get to experience
in
the regular season.
Point. Yeah.
And then it does create some disruption for the lower levels because now you got to figure out you're going to play those on a different day. But I think the little bit of effort is worth it to give both the boys and girls that doubleheader experience. And so we always look for opportunities to do it. And when the conference schedule comes out, we hope that the Pewaukee and the New Berlin West games are on Friday nights and not Tuesdays.
Right. Dan, what is your wife's first name?
Lydia.
She have any idea what she's gotten into here?
Well, we've done it once already.
Hold on.
So we've done that, but I coached Division I for 4 years at
right.
college level with UW-Milwaukee. So that's a whole nother level of commitment compared to even high school. But we know.
I think the head boy's job at Pius is there is a light on that one.
Absolutely.
And it's a bright light.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Pius alumni that want to see you on top of the conference and be up at state and come on, we're Pius. And so it'll be good though.
That's why I'm so excited. We've got an amazing fan base and alumni base behind
Lydia's
us.
Lydia's a basketball fan?
She is. Correct. Yeah, she coached at Oak Creek. The coach in the family more than me.
Hey, two weeks ago, we did a senior mom's day, right, on the show. And I had senior players, I invited their mom in. And Carter Gilmore from Arrowhead, he's going to Wisconsin's walk-on, and his mom is in the Hall of Fame at Platteville. And I said, I hear you're the best shooter in the family. She said, maybe not the best shooter, best scorer. I said, look, I love my wife, but I like you right now a little bit. for you to say that, and it was awesome.
This job's changed, though, from an old dog. It's a 24/7, 365 day. It's not what it used to be. And I was coaching boys volleyball till 3 months ago, trying back-to-back seasons, so I finally gave that up.
Right.
It's changed.
Yes, it has.
When I started, it's changed. You have to do this all year round if you want to be competitive.
I agree with that. Guys, thank you so much. You know, good luck, and I know we're going to have a cup of coffee, and we'll have that. Yeah, you and
absolutely.
I. We'll have
that.
And we'll continue the conversation that we started in the conference room because there's a few other things I want to talk to you about with that kind of stuff. Thank you so much. And Scott, it's good to meet you. I really appreciate it. And again, man, I feel bad for you guys. You guys will get over it, but it's something that it's gonna sting for a bit yet.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. It's good to meet you. We're gonna get to a break. Other side of the break, if he's not sleeping, Drew Collins on the couch, he might be sleeping, but we're gonna wake him up. We're gonna get him back on the mic to talk a little bit about playing for his dad. And I always look forward to stuff like that. This is the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by our local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by your local Pick and Save stores. Man, what a great show. Gotten a lot of response today's show. A lot of response from people going, man, what an entertaining show this has been. And, you know, we had to kind of take it that way because we could have gotten a lot of guys to cry, man. You know what? Because this is something we've never been through, and it is really difficult for a lot of people. Joined in studio now with Steve Collins, head coach at Madison Memorial, his son Drew Collins, who's played for Steven. He's heading, what's the name of the school?
Middlebury.
Yeah, what are you going to do there?
Hoop and learn.
There you go. In that order, or maybe learn and hoop. How's that?
Either or.
Learn and hoop. What's the campus like?
It's pretty small. It's a D3 liberal arts, but it's in between two mountain ranges.
Perfect.
It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. So before we start talking, just remember who helped in paying for the tuition bills so, as we get going here.
Hey, you know what? That's just not. So here's coaching my son, Drew, reading a book from a coach at Dodgeville, coaching our sons. What I figured out after reading it the second time is once we got to the kitchen table, I was his father.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you guys had that, or was there any kind of buffer, and was your mom the buffer sometimes, or how'd that work?
Our thing was basically, once we came into the house, unless I wanted to talk to him as a coach, it was basically just son and father.
So similar, yeah.
Yeah, it was very similar. It used to be like leave the school, and then it went to the car, right, and eventually got to home.
Yeah.
And you know, we didn't. This was on my part because I had watched enough people go through this that I didn't. We didn't come home and watch film. We didn't come home and me critique his game.
Yeah.
You know, other than what a dad would have said, hey, you played really well. Hey, blah blah blah, like those kind of things. So I tried to really turn coach off because I wanted him to love the game.
Do you know what I struggled with? I wanted to pick my son's. My son was a point guard. He's a pure point guard. That's what he was. He could score it a little bit, but he was the guy that would get in a gap, and if you hit two in a row, he's coming your way. Get ready. I wanted to pick his brain. What's this kid thinking? Wait, why is he not practicing hard? And he's like, dude, you got to talk to him.
Right.
Talk to him. What are you talking to me about? The other part, he goes to Maranatha Baptist Bible College, plays Division III there, and there are games that the gym would be packed. And my wife and I wouldn't sit next to each other, and I'd sit on the top, and he would, after the game, go, really? Are you ever going to hit a shot? Are you going to defend somebody? I go, you heard that? He goes, Dad, I'm so in tune with your voice that I can hear, and I'm wondering, same thing?
I'd say so. Yeah. There were a few loud games this year that I don't think anyone else heard him, so I'd have to relay what he said to everybody else on the court.
As a kid growing up in this program, you've seen some unbelievable players.
Yeah.
Can you believe it's over? It went quick, I bet.
It went a lot quicker than I thought it would. Especially this year. This year went by crazy quick. But it's been crazy. I remember being like the ball boy rebounding for those guys like Wesley and Jaron and them. And just always wanting to be like them. It's crazy.
Yeah, I feel
He's got his picture on he's on the wall twice. Holding the ball because he was ball boy when we won.
Oh my goodness.
So I said, you got to experience things. I mean, he's probably cut more nets down than any kid in the state. You know, he's got to experience those things. He didn't get to do it this year, but he got to experience all of those. And those, like you and I were saying, those are memories he's always going to have and we're going to have.
He will always have those. And what's interesting is he ended up going to bed those nights when he was a little kid dreaming about playing for this team in front of this crowd in that gym. And those 4 years for Matthew at Calvary Baptist, I was at Dominican. For the first one, we'd won back-to-back state championships, and I go to Calvary Baptist. We had 67 kids in the whole school.
Right.
We had 7 boys on the team. I call this the Caucasian invasion, right? And we just went and played everywhere. We went and played Milwaukee Hamilton. We played Science Camp. We played all of them.
Right.
And these kids weren't used to it. And, Drew, they didn't know any different.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know any different. Toughest part about playing for your father would be what?
Toughest part.
Did you get a lot of people talking in the hallway? Hey, you're getting playing time. Dad's doing this.
I think I earned a lot of people's respect throughout the last couple of years that I didn't really get a lot of that.
All right.
I know I got a little bit of that freshman year, but I wouldn't say there was the hardest part. I guess just like not being able to like snap back at him as much.
There were
sometimes during practice I just wanted to say something, but just keeping that in my head.
And so I'll go on the coach's side. There were times I saw him talking to himself, and I knew he wanted to say something. I knew he wanted to. So that, you know.
Hey, can I ask you this? Because Tony Bennett came out. I had Cam Cerrone and Andy Cerrone and my son in. Mm-hmm. And Tony Bennett said I'd shoot for an extra 20 minutes after practice because I didn't want to hear what the player said about my dad. in the locker room. And I'm wondering, so you're out at the mall, you're out, and you know, and some of your boys are like, man, your dad's killing me. Is it, that what had to be hard?
It was hard. Our team was, it was a pretty well-knit team throughout the year, so there really wasn't a lot of backlash with that, honestly. The only player was our point guard, but I knew our point guard. He was a junior, quick as hell. And I was close with him, so he'd sometimes just rant to me instead of the entire team, which I think helped a lot. But I was able to really just swallow it. Like,
thank goodness we have a seven-second dump
button.
Do
you have a seven-second delay?
Yeah, Mitch is on that thing. We got to watch your language or we lose our license, young man. And you know what? He's the producer, and he'll get fired way before I do. I'll tell you. I can tell you that. Quick as heck. Quick as a hiccup is how that point guard was. The idea of playing at the next level, you're set for that. Grade wise, obviously grades are
phenomenal. The school he's going to is like I think it's like a 7% acceptance rate or something. It's amazing. He got struck by lightning. I told him he won the lottery when he got into
man,
the
school.
Man,
that's awesome.
He won.
Have you been on the campus?
I have. My niece went there, so I've been on the campus a couple times. It's a Little Ivy. It's considered a Little Ivy school. So
what's it going to be like for you? Because you guys have hung out since he was 3 years
old. It's going to be really hard. It's going to be really, really,
you're going to
really
be in a house full of women.
Yes. Both dogs are girls, and my daughter and my wife. I've been asked probably 100 times, am I quitting this year? I am not.
Yeah.
You know, it's something I still love to do, and you know, I can maybe watch him on the web as if he makes the team and plays this year and does any of that. But it's gonna be hard. We've spent a lot of time considering he was on my volleyball team for 4 straight years and then my basketball team. So it will be a difficult drop off in September. It will definitely be.
You know what? It's just a really Matthew went 45 minutes away. My daughter went to the same college. So we get through Oconomowoc, we're there. I mean, but it was still hard.
Yeah, and he's going to be 1,000 miles away. Yeah. I told him there'll be a lot of FaceTime, there'll be a lot of times, and I'm sure during the season next year I'm going to be calling him. You know, it's like, hey, because he'll know a lot of the guys on the team.
So. Are you nervous about this new journey? Are you excited about it? You still got school. You're going to have to finish up, keep your grades up, and do.
I'd say I'm pretty excited. I knew last year I did not want to go in state. Like, I'm sure I could have gotten into the UW downtown and just gone like 10 minutes away from my house. But I've always wanted to go somewhere new. And
you're going to miss your mama, man. You're going to miss your dad. You're going to miss. But what a great, I mean, I'd switch places with him.
The great thing about him is he adjusts to his surroundings so well. That's one of, I think, his superpowers. It's like, everyone seems to like him. He can go in every kind of, he can be in the AP classes, advanced classes. He can be in our locker room. He can be with every kid in our school.
How much being a coach's son do you credit that?
I do a little bit because you have to adjust a
little. You have to be able to take, especially on the court too, just hearing a lot of stuff and being able to just ignore it too.
I think that's the same. And my son, your daughters are way different, or are they the same? Because my daughter and son are totally different.
Oh, they're totally. I mean, absolutely. Emma might be on Broadway someday. She's not going to be. She won't be the starting point guard, but she might be on Broadway someday.
Daughter, we dropped her off at Maranatha. She said, "Don't call her right for 30 days."
That would be your sister.
You know what? Yeah. And Matthew came home every weekend for 4 years.
Right.
Because he wanted to get on the couch. He wanted to decompress. He wanted to pet his dog. He wanted to watch the shows. And Katie was like, I got to start my new life. Don't call her right. My wife's crying. I'm like, all right, see ya. Yeah. You know, I'm all right with that. But you're still 45 minutes away. This is going to be, whew.
I know. Yeah. I know. I might have to come on next year.
You know what? You know what? Yeah, anytime. Anytime. The problem is the amount of trouble you could get me in.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. During some of these breaks, man, I'm just telling you, it's tough. Guys, I can't thank you enough. I really can't. This has been such a good show. And are you playing that? There you go. You're still young. I figure I'd play a little father and son for you, little Cat Stevens. What a special bond. You know,
thank you. Thank
you.
I watch you on Facebook and how proud of him you are. And I catch some things that he doesn't. The love that you guys have is phenomenal. And it's going to be hard. You come in anytime. Okay. You come in anytime. And if you need to get somebody to get you away from the cliff because it's really hard, I can be that guy
all
for
right,
you.
Thank you.
Man, young man, it's impressive how you've grown, man. And just last time, you couldn't even look at me, barely talking shit over there. And every time I said something, you turned red. You did good. You and your wife did good. He's going to change. He's going to change the world, that kid right there. Guys, everybody that's been listening, you coaches, I'm sorry for the stuff that's going on. You'll be okay. Thanks a lot for listening. It's been a great show, Mitch. Thank you very much. This is the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I could talk. I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.